The following message was given at Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming.
Worship the Ancient of Days by hearing from His Word. I invite you to open to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 is our text for this morning as we've been making our way through this book. As a church together, we've come to Galatians chapter 3, and we're looking at verses 1 through 5. Galatians chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, let's now give our attention as God speaks to us in this holy word. O foolish Galatians! Who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? As far as the reading of God's holy and inspired word, may God now be pleased to bless it to us. Well, it's a very common belief in our day that the gospel is only for unbelievers. And so when the gospel is proclaimed in a sermon, it's typically an add-on at the end, a giving a call for unbelievers to believe in Christ. But once someone has believed the gospel, the question is, well, what use is it now? You've already believed it. Why do you need to hear it again? Now it is time to leave the gospel behind and move on to principles for living, spiritual disciplines, and steps for a better marriage. This is a modern example of what Paul is addressing here with the Galatians in our passage today. Rather than seeing the Christian life as one from faith to faith, as Paul says in Romans 1:16, or as he said just a couple of verses ago in Galatians 2:20, that the life he now lives, he lives by faith in the Son of God. Go from that to works of the law. Now, it is true that believers must obey God's law and follow all that Christ has commanded. So it's not as if the law has no place. However, the issue is when we leave the gospel behind. We leave hearing of faith behind and go to our willpower in keeping the law rather than a life of faith. Faith. See, it is faith in the gospel that empowers us to obey and keep God's law throughout the entirety of our Christian life. So we never leave faith in the gospel and try to be perfected in the flesh. And so today we're going to look at three aspects of the Christian life showing that we never leave faith. Three aspects of the Christian life showing that we never leave faith. The first is this, Christ crucified. Christ crucified. We look at verse 1 again where Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. So after Paul spends two chapters defending that he received the gospel not from man, but from God himself, he then turns and directs his attention to the Galatians and asks them why they are being so foolish and who has bewitched them. Now this word bewitched means to be under the influence of an evil eye. Back in their day, witchcraft believed that you could influence or control or put somebody under a spell through an evil eye. Now, the only people who can do that today are mothers. And it's more powerful than witchcraft. Well, Paul is saying what you are doing is so inexplicable that it is as if someone cast a spell on you. There's no other way to explain it. Now, Paul doesn't really believe that that's the case, but he's saying your behavior is so foolish, it's as if this is the only explanation. He says this because, as we have been seeing, they were abandoning the gospel and returning to works righteousness. In their particular case, they were buying into the belief that you can be circumcised and obtain righteousness that way for your righteous standing before God. And they were not denying faith in Christ. They're saying, of course, you must believe in Christ, but that's not enough. You must also complete your righteousness by doing these things if you want to stand righteous before God. But as Paul just got done saying in 2:21, if that's the case, then Christ died for no purpose. Either Christ's work is completely sufficient or it is not. And this is why Paul brings up Christ's cross work. He says, it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Now, when Paul says that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified before their eyes, it's not that they were actually there at Calvary's Hill when Jesus was crucified. These Galatians are well outside of that region. Rather, as we see through the book of Acts, they received the news that Jesus Christ had been publicly crucified, as attested to by many witnesses. That is, they heard the preaching of the gospel, and that is how Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified before their very eyes. It's through the preaching of the gospel. And we see here the play on word with the word eyes. Instead of being influenced by this evil eye, through the preaching of the gospel, Christ was put before your eyes. So powerful is the preaching of Christ that by hearing it, it is as if you were there and had witnessed Christ crucified himself. In fact, an argument can even be made that it's more powerful than being there, because many Jews were there and witnessed him being crucified. But even they did not believe, having witnessed it with their own eyes. But the Galatians, on the other hand, had their entire lives transformed by the preaching of Christ. So they heard that the Lord Jesus is God himself. God the Son, who was born of a woman, born under the law. That he went to the cross willingly to lay down his life for the forgiveness, the sins of his people. And that is all that's required for all the forgiveness of your sins. And that he lived a righteous life. He obeyed the law so that that righteousness, that obedience to the law would be counted as ours. We who believe as if we had done it, that God sees us righteous, covered in the righteousness of Christ. What can man add to that? What can man add to that? Paul says to the Galatians, how can you be so foolish to hear this, to hear of the perfect finished work of Christ, and then say, something more is needed. Christ crucified was put right before their eyes through the preaching of the gospel. Now they're turning a blind eye to it. Oh, how foolish. How foolish. Just as a side note, every once in a while we're asked why we don't have a cross up front here or some symbol of the cross somewhere. Well, it's because what Paul says here, that The cross is set before our eyes every week when the gospel is preached, when Christ and Him crucified is preached. And through the visible representation of the Lord's Supper, the Word of God and the visible Word of baptism and the Lord's Supper are the means that God has chosen to powerfully work through to bring the transformation in our life. And this is why we need to hear the gospel every week and hear it with faith. A second aspect of the Christian life showing that we never leave faith is the reception of the Spirit. Paul asks this rhetorical question in verse 2, where he says, "Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" Now, this is a rhetorical question, and what that means is Paul's not actually asking a question he doesn't know the answer to, but is asking the question in order to make a point. The point that Paul wants the Galatians to see is that the entire Christian life is one of faith, dependence on God who freely gives. And he starts here. He starts with the giving of the Spirit. He ties it to God giving His Son. God giving His Son is one such proof of how God, of now living by faith, and now God giving His Spirit is another. And he's going to build on this into the next verses. And so Paul asks them, did you receive this Holy Spirit, the presence of God dwelling within you, through good works, through willpower, through your own efforts, through keeping the law? Or was it a gift freely given? A hearing with faith? Well, they know the answer, and so do we. They received the gift of the Holy Spirit by simply believing the gospel that they heard. Think about how simple this is. Think about how simple this is in comparison to works of the law. You sit there and you hear a message and you believe it. And that's it. It sounds too simple. It sounds too good to be true. That there has to be more, we think. There has to be some sort of fine print. But that's all. This is how we receive salvation. This is how we are completely forgiven. This is how we are reconciled to God forever. And this is how we receive this most wonderful gift. God, the Holy Spirit. God Himself dwelling in us before doing even one good work. In fact, we can't do any good works apart from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That right there should tell us the absurdity of leaving faith in exchange for relying on our own strength, our own willpower, our own works of trying to keep the law. And this brings us to a third aspect of the Christian life, showing that we never leave faith. We saw first, Christ crucified. Second, the reception of the Spirit. And third, the ongoing work of the Spirit. The ongoing work of the Spirit. Paul says in verse 3, "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are now being perfected by the flesh." So Paul moves further down the Christian life from receiving Christ to immediately upon receiving Christ, receiving His Spirit, to now the continuing dependence and reliance on the Spirit in the Christian life. If we could live the Christian life in the flesh, what is the purpose of receiving the indwelling of the Holy Spirit? But just as is the case that if righteousness could be obtained through the law, then God gave His Son for no purpose, so also if we can live righteously to the law apart from the Spirit, then He gave His Spirit for no purpose. And when we consider the ministry of the Spirit, we see how foolish it is to ever go back to try to produce obedience in the flesh. The Holy Spirit is the one who regenerates us. That is, He's the one who makes us spiritually alive, where we go from spiritually dead in our trespasses and sins to alive in Christ, where we believe in Him, where we begin to love Him and we start living in obedience to Him. When the Holy Spirit regenerates us, it immediately results in faith to believe so that we do receive Christ and then receive the Spirit. When what Paul is referring to here in Galatians 3, with the receiving of the Spirit through faith, is receiving the indwelling of the Spirit. Receiving the seal of the Spirit for the day of redemption, which is a separate operation or work of the Spirit, then giving us this regeneration and the faith. But the Spirit is the one who gives us that new heart to believe in Him, making us willing, able to believe, willing and able to obey God, removing that heart of stone and giving us this heart of flesh. He is the one who united us to Christ, creating this invisible, mysterious, but very real spiritual connection and bond with Christ that is unbreakable, so that Christ's death became our death. His burial is our burial. His resurrection is our resurrection, which is what is going to be pictured in baptism. The Holy Spirit is God Himself. He is associated with the very presence of God, as Psalm 139:7 says, "Where shall I go from your Spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence?" We see there in Hebrew parallelism, God's presence is the Spirit. And the Spirit is omnipresent, as David implies by saying, "Where shall I go from your Spirit? Your Spirit's everywhere, so I cannot go from His presence." The Holy Spirit is how God Himself is with us. The Holy Spirit is also called the Spirit of Christ by Paul in Romans 8:9, interchangeably called the Spirit of God and Spirit of Christ. And this is how we can have, as Paul says in Galatians 2:20, Christ living in us. It's by His Holy Spirit. And this results in the fruit of the Spirit, which Paul lists out later in his letter in Galatians 5:22-23, of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All those who have the Holy Spirit of necessity bear this fruit to one degree or another. These are the fruit of the Spirit. It's His fruit in us. This is in contrast to the flesh, the deeds of which Paul also lists out in Galatians 5. Sexual immorality, impurity, enmity, strife, fits of anger, drunkenness. These are the deeds of the flesh, and those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And Paul says, that's why we need the Holy Spirit, because He is the one who puts these deeds in us to death and produces His fruit. In fact, Paul says in Galatians 5:17 that the flesh opposes the Spirit. So to return to Paul's question here in Galatians 3:3, do you really want to leave behind the Spirit and be perfected in the flesh? No wonder he says, how foolish! How foolish are you? What does it mean to abandon the Spirit and try to be perfected with the flesh? Well, just as He was given to us through hearing with faith apart from works of the law, so He continues to work in us through the hearing of faith. Notice Paul's progression here in this passage. Verse 2, did you receive the Spirit through works of the law or hearing with faith? The answer is obvious. So Paul says, if this is the case, then verse 3, having begun by the Spirit, are you not going to be perfected in the flesh? In other words, if you receive the Spirit by hearing with faith and not by your own attempts to keep the law, then why would you begin with the Spirit, it's hearing with faith, and then move on to the flesh that is works of the law? If you follow his train of thought here, he parallels the Spirit with hearing with faith and works of the law with trying to be perfected in flesh. And then he continues here, verse 4, did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Now, this word for suffer is actually neutral. It simply is the word experience. Context determines if it's a bad experience, so it would be suffering, or a good experience. But what Paul is saying here is that you have experienced the power of the gospel. You have received the Spirit through the hearing of faith. You experienced the power of the Spirit. As Paul's going to go on to say in verse 5, are all these things really in vain for you to leave them behind? He continues, verse 5. Does he who supplied the Spirit to you and worked miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing and faith? So here Paul asks another rhetorical question that proves this one point that he's been getting at, that we never leave hearing with faith to fall onto our own efforts, our own willpower at keeping the law for either justification or sanctification. Because not only did they receive the Spirit by hearing with faith, God continues to work by His Spirit among them through this same hearing with faith. Now, during the time of the apostles, God was working miracles in His church, one of only three periods in redemptive history where He did this. But nevertheless, all work of the Spirit is done through hearing with faith. We don't try hard to try to activate the Spirit, as it were, to unleash His power. It's not us trying hard enough to get the Spirit to respond. And this is, by the way, problematic for charismatics, and why they are often very burdened, because they're trying to do something that they never attain to no avail. Rather, it comes through hearing with faith. This is why we never leave hearing with faith. Now, he obviously is not saying that to keep God's law is fleshly, is being perfected in the flesh. What Paul does mean here by works of the law is this: leaving faith in the ministry of the Spirit and trying to keep the law in your own efforts. Think of willpower. Think of, I just got to do it. Apart from hearing the gospel. That is, you act as if God started the work and it's now up to you to finish it. You stop depending on God and start depending on yourself, your strength, your ability, your willpower, your works at trying to keep the law to either complete your justification or progress in your sanctification. It's the old error of the medieval church that became Roman Catholicism, which is God did His part, now you need to do your part. Or, in our vernacular, God helps those who help themselves. You start with grace, but now you must finish by your own works. There's actually a popular teaching in our day called Federal Vision. It goes by other names, covenantal gnomism. Sometimes it's associated with the New Perspectives on Paul. Doug Wilson, if you know that name, was one of the original signers to the Federal Vision document in 2007. He never renounced this history, but said, well, I really didn't mean it, or I was just misunderstood. But the basic belief is this: you get into God's covenant by grace, but you must stay in by your own works. You get in by grace. You start with grace, but you complete it by works. If you do not produce works to the law, then you will not make it to heaven in the end. So you better get busy. You better be working hard. They split justification into two parts. Now, remember what justification is from last week? It's God's declaration of us that we are righteous, that there's nothing to condemn in us. And it's a free gift that He gives to us on the basis of Christ's righteousness. He declares us just, just as if we were perfectly just. That's what justification means. These advocates split justification into two parts. An initial one, by grace, through faith, freely, but a final justification based on your works. If you want to make it to heaven in the end, you better be good. Yeah, you start with grace, but you're going to be judged by your works. You better get your act together. You've been obedient this week? You've been good? Might face God's wrath. That's to be put back under the law. And that's a very popular teaching in our day. You start by grace, but you need to stay in or make it in the end based on your works. Or to use Paul's words, you begin with the Spirit, but you're perfected in the flesh. I think that not only is it our default setting to depend on ourselves, but we just simply have a hard time believing the gospel. It just seems too good to be true. Really, I'm freely forgiven? And there's nothing I do? Really, God has forgiven me forever? Apart from any works? And it's hard to believe that. Now, sometimes we misuse scripture and misuse passages such as James 2, which says that faith without works is dead. Of course, it's true that faith is without works is dead because the Bible says it. But we misinterpret it when we say, well, it's up to your efforts at producing good works, or you're not going to make it in the end, or you can't be a Christian, rather than saying, the reason you don't have good works is because you don't have faith. The one who says, I have faith, but doesn't have good works, doesn't have faith. What's the solution? Get busy at producing good works? No, the solution is believe. Look to Christ. In fact, because you're trying to produce good works in the flesh is probably why you're not. You need to believe on Christ. And then you will see the evidence of good works in your life. But this trying to be perfected by our works to the law not only applies to our justification, but also to our sanctification. Sanctification is God's work of conforming us into the image of Christ, this practical righteousness in our life. This is where we believe that our sanctification is dependent on our work, our willpower, and not God's. Now, John Fesco, in his commentary, brings a good illustration here. He says, we've all bought those toys or electronics that say batteries not included. We know that. Well, this is the way we can view our sanctification. Our sanctification is not included by God in salvation. Or at least the power we need for our sanctification is not included, just as batteries to power the toy or electronic is not included. It's up to us to supply the sanctification in our salvation, or at least the power in order to keep the law. The only thing God's given us is His law, is the way we think here in this era. He's given the law, you got to do it, you better do it, or else. God has not supplied you with any power, He's not going to sanctify you, that's not included. He's just given you His law and left it up to you to try to keep it. And so, Philippians 1:6 gets changed from, He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it, to, He who began a good work in you left it to you to complete it. Or, changes Philippians 2:12 and 13 from, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure, to, you better work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for God is not at work in you. And if there's going to be any progress, it's all up to you. It turns Hebrews 12:2 from looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, to looking to Jesus as the founder of our faith, but looking to ourselves as the perfecter of our faith. It turns 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24 from, now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. To, He will not surely do it, but has left it to you. Now may you be faithful to sanctify yourself in order to be found blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. sanctification not included. It's the way we think here. Now the question comes up at this point, are you saying that our sanctification is just let go and let God? The answer is of course not. The issue is that we leave faith, that is, we leave depending on Christ. We leave reliance on Him and instead rely on our own efforts at keeping the law rather than trusting the promises of God. We think that the power is in the law rather than in God's gospel promises. And that's really the crux here. But it is through faith in the gospel promises that we receive power in order to keep the law. Peter says in 2 Peter 1:4 that it is through God's precious and magnificent promises that we escape the corruption of our flesh. Not through our efforts at keeping the law, but through God's precious and magnificent promises. And what do we do with promises? We believe them. We believe them. And that's how we receive power. And this is why Peter will go on to say in that very passage a few verses later that the one who isn't growing in holiness is what? Doesn't say it just isn't trying hard enough, but rather has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his sins. He has forgotten the gospel, forgotten the promises of the gospel, that God has wiped away our sins. And this is why we never set aside hearing God's promises that he will remember our sins no more, that he has forever removed our sins as far as the east is from the west, cast them into the heart of the sea. That he has not only pardoned our sins, but he has also cleansed us from all unrighteousness. That he will be faithful to finish the work that he has begun in us. That he will surely be faithful to sanctify us completely. That he will never leave us or forsake us. That he will most certainly glorify us. And he will confirm us in his everlasting kingdom when he comes back. And it's believing those promises that we receive power then to live and serve him. So may we never leave the hearing of faith. May we remember that the whole salvation we have received is through faith alone and faith always. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, in our pride, we want to look to ourselves and not depend upon you, thinking that we can do it. Even when we hear the law, we hear, this is a challenge for me to keep. I can do it. Watch me do it. Oh, our pride is so deep. That's why we need to be reminded once again of the gospel that we did not receive your Son because of our works. We didn't receive your Spirit because of our works. The Spirit is at work in us, not because of our works, but through the hearing of faith, through the means that you have established to grow us. And so, Lord, help our unbelief. Cause us to believe. Once again, deepen our faith. Do so even through not only the verbal word that we just heard, but also now the visible word that we are about ready to see. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
You have been listening to a message from Trinity Bible Church in Powell, Wyoming. To receive more information about Trinity Bible Church or to support the ministry, go to tbcwyoming.com. That is tbcwyoming.com.